Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello, my name is Gary Mansfield, and this is a bonus episode of the Ministry of Arts podcast. Now, as ever, let's begin by banging these bongos.
Yeah, right. Crazy.
Hello. And welcome to this bonus episode, number 25, of the Ministry of Arts podcast. Today, you're going to be hearing from Megan and Kieran from Gallery Number 32. They're good buddies of mine and really good friends of the podcast. They're going to be telling us about the biggest event in their calendar, and that is the Winter Sculpture Park. They're bringing us 40 artists showing in 4 acres of open grassland in Bexley, South East London. This sculpture park is open for 10 weeks, and not only is it free for the visitors, it's also free for the artists to enter. That's a bit of a rarity, right? There is an opening event where the artists are all going to be present on the 18th of February between 12 and 5pm. But if you want to attend that, you have to book a ticket. Other than that, the event runs from the 19th of February until the 29th of April. And it's super easy to find. It's Gallery Number 32, Bexley, DA5-3QG. It's within just a few minutes walk from the train station, and if you're driving, it's about the same amount of time from the A2. For more information, you can go over to the socials. On Instagram, it is @gallery_no.32. On Twitter, it's @32gallery. And over on the old tickety-tock, it is @WinterSculptureParks. And if you're booking a ticket for the opening on Saturday the 18th, I'll see you there. But until then, please come and join me as I met up with Megan and Kieran from Gallery Number 32. This morning I'm here with Meg and Kieran, who are the co-curators, the co-founders of Gallery 32, to talk about their Winter Sculpture Park that is starting on the 18th of February. So could you kick off by telling us a little bit of its history, how it started?
So the Winter Sculpture Park is a very exciting project that's like our main thing every year. So we've been running it now for 3 years. We describe it as a self-sustaining DIY artist-led project. It's an outdoor show, and we get between 30 and 40 artists each year to come and bring sculptures and set them up in a disused field for around 8 weeks. And it's free to apply to, free to exhibit in, and free to view. So it's a show of accessible public sculpture.
Although the application process has finished as we speak, what was the application process anyway? Do you have to be an established artist? Is there an entry fee?
You don't have to be established. You take artists from any stage of their career. I think that's the important part of it, is that we get artists from like every stage. So yeah, when they're all together in like the group chat and we're discussing the show, you know, there's all different backgrounds and different ideas and different ways of doing things, you know. There's a lot to learn from everyone. And also, like, in order to do that, there's no fee. There's no fee to apply. There's no fee to show.
Oh, wow.
No money comes our way, you know?
Is there a theme to this year's show?
So we never theme the show necessarily, but part of our selection process is finding the commonalities that come out of the applications that we have. Yeah. This year we got around 180 applications, which was intense because then we had to cut it down to around 40, which is really, really difficult because all of the applications are always of such high quality and from some really exciting people. But our main points are always, you know, the idea itself, how well it will last outside, and forming a group and a community that we feel like will work really well and bounce off of each other.
Yeah.
But yeah, theme-wise, one of the major commonalities that came out of this year was sort of urbanism, the civic realm, the commons.
Privatisation of it.
Yeah.
Play, like playgrounds and...
Yeah, sort of like a dystopian exploration of the urban realm in some ways.
That's it, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's sort of the concept of the city and the human interaction within that, which works quite nicely considering the setting being this sort of disused private land that also has a feeling of kind of forced commons in that there's like desire paths all over this field, despite the fact that there's a direct public footpath through the middle, and that we really like that. And as we put more sculptures up across these fields, more desire paths appear and it kind of enforces that a little bit more.
Yeah, we try to use the desire paths as part of the trail and where we place the sculptures. It works really well that way because there's a lot of discovery and there's a lot of it's just a natural movement, a natural like drift around the space.
Yeah, it's as if the land's dictating where you put the artworks.
That's it. Yeah, yeah.
And it's a massive field. Do you put artworks in all of it?
Last year we went about two thirds into the field, didn't we? I mean, it's a difficult one because as the show grows, if we have more sculptures and as the sculptures that people apply with get bigger and bigger, they need more space to breathe. Mm-hmm. So then we have to go further and further into the field. But it kind of depends on our permissions.
What we agree to. We've got 4 acres at the moment.
Wow.
Which is quite a large space. And then we've got the orchard as well.
Oh, yeah, I was going to mention the orchard because as you walk into the space that you've got, the orchard is what you're met with first. And that's as if it's like a little gateway into the main space, isn't it?
Yeah. Mm, it kind of feels quite introductory. It's almost like you think that's like sort of impressive because you're in the initial space and then you go up this little desire path that's been created and suddenly there's these mammoth sculptures in this derelict field.
Yeah.
And it's like a transition.
Yeah, it's quite like densely populated and fun. Right? Mm. It's like the hot tub to the swimming pool. Yeah.
And is there a set route that you've got there or do people just go in whatever?
Yeah, people just kind of go as they please, don't they? Which is part of the fun. But you do want to have more of a trail idea this year, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, there's a trail idea, like we said, to the larger space, to the field. But I guess the orchard? The orchard, you can go in either one first, you know.
Mm.
There's no, and the orchard hasn't really got a flow. It likes it more like a densely populated playground, you know. You go, if you want to go on the swings first, you can.
Well, which is actually what we're doing this year. We are making it like the dystopian playground, the orchard this year, because there was such a fun group that came out of the applications of this like creepy playground thing. And there's some really cool artists that we've got to be part of that in the orchard. Danny Young is one of my tops in that, with his making giant whoopee cushions that you can jump on.
Brilliant.
Yeah, a bit like stepping stones, right?
Kind of, yeah.
Like hopscotch with whoopee cushions. I like it.
Which I think it's really cool. It kind of brings an element of like soft play, which you wouldn't have thought you could bring to outdoors, but he's managed to adapt it to be an outdoor, you know, something that can last outside for 8 weeks plus.
Yeah.
Which is really cool.
What's the biggest artwork you've got?
I actually wonder if it's Chloe's.
Chloe's is pretty big. I think Luap wants to go pretty big.
Yeah. He doesn't do things by halves normally, does he?
No, he doesn't. No, and that's quite exciting. in a way.
Do you know what Luap's doing yet?
Yeah, as much as the fun thing about Luap is like...
It changes weekly.
I wouldn't say it changes. It's just like he has a lot of ideas.
Yeah.
And it's fun. Like whenever I talk to him, we just kind of throw ideas at each other all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to like just pin one idea down. It's probably hard for us both. So I'll be like, just settle on that one. And then a couple of days later, I'll think of something and be like, hey, what about this?
You two are a nightmare together in that sense.
Can be. He came down when it snowed the other week for a photo shoot.
Yeah, I saw that.
Right, cool. We're hoping to use those images on in a little campaign soon.
Yeah, really nice pictures as well. He did really well with that.
Uh-huh.
Brought a drone as well. We've got like bird's eye views of...
Oh yeah, bird's eye view of the sculpture park in the snow. Beautiful. Really
cool. Brilliant. Brilliant.
But yeah, his is going to be massive. But I mean, like, I think Chloe Rochefort is bringing like a massive plushy puzzle, and you kind of tie it up all together and it forms this big sculpture. And then when she's there, you take it apart and you form this huge puzzle on the floor.
Nice.
She's like a big sort of community artist vibe, isn't she? She's a really cool artist. But yeah, there's some really fun ones in that section in the playground.
Yeah, Chloe worked on a huge hot air balloon in Thamesmead last year. And they got loads of they just got members of the public, right?
Locals
to like design artwork, and they built a huge hot air balloon out of it that they flew. They floated.
Wow.
Flew it across Thamesmead,
yeah. So we saw her through that. She's amazing.
A really cool project to work on. I can't remember the names of the guys, but this is an amazing project. I really want them to fly the hot air balloon over the sculpture park.
Have you got any artists returning from last year?
We do, yes. I mean, we feel like it's really important to have, like we were saying about having that group that can bounce off each other and all bring something to the table to support each other in some way, in that cultural exchange.
Yeah. And I think there's a lot to learn or be learned from being in the sculpture park that you're not going to be aware of, having never done it. And so we brought back five artists that we feel were very experienced.
We had in our mind that we wanted five returning artists. This year they're Nicola Turner, Catriona Robertson, Lucy Fahati, Frederick Berman and Erica Trotzig, who all have very good experience of outdoor installation in the very specific conditions of our sculpture park in Bexley. So that's great because they can support the others. We also wanted to really make sure we had a local pool of artists to feel like we're not just in Bexley, but representing Bexley in some ways and making Bexley a bit more of a cultural destination. Not a lot of cultural things in our area of Bexley at the moment. So yeah, we've got some local artists, Lucy again, Bill Hudson, Alexander Brain, Natalie Cost, Anta Germain, Mia Jane Harris and John Matheson. So a really, really nice pool of local artists that I think, because for us engaging with the local community is really important as part of this, because it's in such a massive area of Bexley that it feels necessary, you know?
The two things you've mentioned on there, firstly, is having five of the previous artists. I think that's a great idea anyway, because then it just links to the last exhibition and then it will link to the next exhibition, where other than that, it would be a standalone exhibition on its own, wouldn't it? And likewise with the local artists, the grounding thing is to always have some local artists in your exhibition. Yes, it's brilliant. Yeah,
I think it's really important. Yeah.
You know, they can also tell the story of the area and their stories of the area, and we can all learn from them. And the other artists can learn.
Yeah.
And it's kind of about that. It's kind of like the exchange of knowledge, you know?
Yeah. Even some of the artists that we thought we didn't even know had a connection, it kind of brings people that have that local connection to it. I mean, there's an artist that applied from Glasgow, Simon Kennedy, and his parents are from Bexley.
Brilliant.
Like, and he told me yesterday, I was like, that's just so strange. And he thought, yeah, it felt like it was like a calling to me that there was something happening in this place that I just like have a connection to, but haven't lived there for years and years and years.
Yeah,
it brings that creativity back to a spot that just doesn't feel like it has much of it. Then I also think it makes people that are visiting the show locally feel more connected to it. And I think that's important.
Have you got any artists that want to work just in the public realm?
I think so. I think Fred is like super public realm based artist. And there's a lot of kind of community interactive artists that are really keen to kind of reflect their environment. Last year, we had an artist called Martha Ellis who came down from Scotland, and obviously this was a massive effort that we're not saying that you have to do, but she drew the public in the local area and then created her sculpture from it. So it felt nice. Reflective of the community and of the place where it was mm-hmm. based. And we've really liked that.
Yeah, it looked amazing. It was down in the orchard. It was kind of like a square of cut out, what was it? What do you call those kind of drawings?
Like stencils? Yeah. It was like a stenciled...
A silhouette, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was really cool. I like that. I mean, we do get a lot of artists that are looking to focus primarily in the public.
This year we've accepted a few like street artists.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Whose artwork we've actually spotted just out in the street, you know, in public or kind of where it shouldn't be.
And what is the sculptures they've submitted?
So Butch Atai is one of the street artists this year. He has work all around like Southeast, and you can see some of his work from the train in Lewisham.
Yeah, they're quite 2D, like birdhouses. And I think the birdhouse is his signature. He produces these like 2D birdhouses, and you can see them on the train through Lewisham.
Nice.
But I've always thought they were amazing. And then when he applied, it was quite exciting. So I was like, oh, so now like, you get to find out who these artists are.
Yeah, and I think he's making them 3D for the show. So it yeah. kind of links massively into this whole sort of urbanism accidental theme that we've got going on. Mm-hmm. And he's going to pop them along the train line because there's a direct train line that goes through the site. So you can see some of the works from the train, which is really cool. So keep an eye out on your way.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hi. But I think he's making them into 3D birdhouses, isn't he? So maybe we'll be able to keep them on site for a little while.
Mm-hmm. We've always been quite keen to have artists that their artwork is like primarily 2D, creating 3D works with butchers. That's kind of what he's doing. As much as they are sculpture, he's taking them from being 2D to being 3D, and that's quite exciting.
Yeah, and I mean, a lot of the artists that come into the sculpture park, and the reason that we accept them is because they're pushing what they would normally consider their practice. So like Jamie Temple is normally a print artist, but he's coming in with a sculpture that's like a kinetic sculpture as well, so it's like really dynamic and cool. And I kind of like that people really just use this opportunity, being that it's a free opportunity, to take some risks and change things up a bit from what they would usually do. Mm-hmm. And that's one of our main aims with it, really, isn't it? To provide like a springboard or a platform that's as risk-free as we can make it at the moment for artists to explore something new.
Yeah.
We've also got Dion Kitson.
Do you know what he's doing?
You've been in discussion with a few different ideas, haven't you?
Yeah, that's another one where it's...
another.
Dion also evolves his ideas from one moment to the next.
Yeah,
which
sure.
is quite exciting. It brings sort of like a liveliness to it, doesn't it?
Yeah. And you know it's going to be good. So, I mean, just...
Dion's pretty cool, isn't he?
The sculpture part, you know, you'll see it.
Exactly. And I think like with this group, it's just going to be like the discovery within the park this year is going to be so much fun. It's going to be like the playground is going to kind of begin it with this sort of absurdist group of things in the orchard, but then like as you travel up onto the upper field, then there's this like site of kind of anti-monuments, which is how we saw it last year, and it's kind of continued this year. Because I mean, if you stand in the middle of the field, you can see like 4 or 5 different church steeples, and then there's like loads of telephone pylons and electricity pylons and stuff, and there's all these like monumental structures.
Yeah.
And then when the sculpture part comes on, there's these like massive things like there.
It's absurd structures.
Yeah. We've got artists that really focus on trying to do that. But then there's also artists that it's almost accidental because, you know, like you say, if they would have put their work into a gallery, it would have felt very different to how if they'd just put it in this field amongst this like endless derelict space.
And well, that's the thing with artists who genuinely just work within galleries. Once they take it outside, put it in the public realm and walk away from it, then it takes on a life of its own and no one's got any responsibility over it. So it does fall to the elements, to nature, to vandals even, if you like, you know.
Exactly. And also, I mean, like as you say, you put it there, you don't really know how it's going to look because yeah. There's no way of imagining that you could. And people often say to us, oh, I've put it in my garden. But it's so different to put a sculpture in your garden than like that massive 4-acre.
Yeah.
Suddenly it's tiny, you know. it's strange. But there's some that I'm really excited to see up on that top field, and I think it's I'm looking forward to that.
As much as the artworks, they follow that flow of the space. A lot of them are quite disruptive in a way this year. Mm. So
yeah,
they get the peaceful walk through nature, but then you're like confronted with an artwork, and then the next one, which is quite.
And because it's a public space, the viewer isn't always going to have art in mind. No. If it's just a dog walker who has no interest in art, to them it's just an obstacle. And I quite like the fact that someone who may not have any art interest, how they view an artwork.
Yeah, exactly. And you kind of get that when we go up to the field, you'll see all sorts of different characters interacting with the artwork. And one of my highlights of last year was just, I walked up there was no one else up there apart from this one guy with his dog, and he was sat on the sheep.
Nice.
Just playing fetch with his dog, but using it as a place to rest.
Yeah. You know?
But he felt comfortable enough to go and sit on the sculpture of the sheep.
They were meant to be sat on though, so it's fine.
Yeah. I think they were my favourite last year, the show.
They were brilliant, weren't they? Yeah. They were so good. And I also loved just how many dogs got stuck barking at them for so long.
Did they? I didn't know that. Brilliant.
Yeah, it was so funny. But like, especially the first week of them being there, it was hilarious. But yeah, they were a good one last year. I mean, there was a lot of like feedback of there being like talk within Bexley Village about the commuters when they were on the train saying like, what is that?
Oh nice. Yeah, because of course the train track you've got down the side there, when people are going to and from work, for instance, they're going to see the sculptures in place, aren't they?
Yeah, exactly. And a lot of people, especially in that area, their exploration of Bexley during the week probably stops at that train station.
Yeah.
And the sculpture park is just beyond the train station in the other direction from where most people live. So it will bring them there, you know. It's very enticing.
It's an invitation to explore, really, isn't it? Because if you're on the train and you look across up from your phone for a second and something like neon pink, like a giant pink bear catches your eye from the train, you might look up for a bit longer than you would usually, and then you might think, where is that, can I find it? And then you might think, well, one day maybe I'll get off the train and have a look to see if I can find where that is and see what that is and why there's an enormous fluffy pink bear in a field.
Well, I've got to say, I've had a few art experiences where I've stumbled across them and they have been among my best experiences because you haven't got time to have any expectation. You just go within the moment.
Yeah, and trying to create that is really quite interesting, and that's kind of what we try to do, isn't it? Create a moment of discovery.
But it's very much that anyway, because if you go in the orchard first, you can't see them anyway, because there is a bank of sorts. So it's all a surprise to the viewer once they start walking up that bank anyway, isn't it?
Exactly. And then it's sort of like a moment of discovery when you kind of think, whoa, once you're up the top.
Yeah.
It's cool. And
we tend to place the sculptures as well in a way that even when you're up that bank, you're not aware of how many sculptures there are until you start moving to the next one. Then once you get to the next one, you'll be able to kind of spot one that's closer, but maybe one that's a bit further away. And if you go towards one that's further away, you'll be able to spot another.
Yeah.
I think it's interesting, like, if you are going for a walk through that field and you're kind of contemplating something to yourself, and then you're met with a sculpture, in a way, you kind of put your own thoughts on it.
Yeah.
And you take something from it, you know, it kind of feels like that was meant to happen. And I feel like when I walked around the sculpture park, or I've ever come across sculpture in public, it's always been a quite interesting time for me. And then I kind of let it give me the answer. And I kind of want that to happen for other people.
I like that.
So yeah, and it's kind of exactly. So it's kind of based on the path you decide to take, you know, what answer you're going to get.
And it could be different
and what
each
you're
time,
going to be met with. Exactly.
Yeah.
Last year, you'd done little tours of a weekend. Will they be happening this year?
Yeah, we're planning some tours which will be with the artists, which is really, really fun. It worked so well last year, didn't it?
Yeah, it was amazing.
We structured it so that it was kind of the artists led it anyway, and they began a discussion about their art. They spoke for like a couple of minutes, and then the public just engaged in a conversation.
Nice.
About the work, and it was one of the most successful parts that came out of the show last year. So we'll definitely bring that back this year. Mm-hmm. And we've also got a bit of a programme of workshops that we're hoping to do. That'll be really fun to work with some schools in the area and schools in the north of Bexley and some community groups, and then some open public workshops, which I think will be fun. And they'll be led by the artists. I mean, the opening party's got its own programme of itself, which...
When's the opening party?
So it's the 18th of February, and it's a Saturday. It's going to be very fun. We're going to have some.
Is that invite only?
No, it's public. It's very public. There's tickets available at the moment. You can get them on our website or find the link on our Instagram.
Free
of
tickets,
course,
obviously.
But do book them. Yeah, and it's so much fun. Last year, the opening party was an amazing highlight, and it's so good to be able to get everyone there and view the art at once and alongside all the artists, and to see what everyone thinks of it this year.
Mm-hmm. The programme is quite like co-curated as well with the artists, isn't it?
Mm.
So like we kind of speak about what workshops they'd want to put on and how they want the artists' walk and talk to go. You know, that's quite an important part of it. And that changes. That will change every year. We kind of just grow on what happened last year. Really,
yeah, well, that sense of togetherness is something that can make or break a normal exhibition, let alone a public exhibition, that's for sure.
That's it. And the time that the artists actually get to be around each other and we get to be around them, it's kind of installation week, and no one's really got a lot of time to explain their artwork during installation week and answer questions. So it's just a really nice way for everyone to come back and just, you know, discuss the show and the themes. You know.
And for the public, is there any... information sheets around or any information on the particular artworks?
Yeah, so there'll be QR codes across the show that will take you to the information about the artworks and about the artists and what the work's made of and all that kind of question. But we think it's quite nice initially to be able to look at it without that, but then if you want it, it's there.
We're also looking to have some kind of like a activity pack, so when you're there, you can also, you know, feel like you're part of the show.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe there'll be a part where you can sketch one of the sculptures and you could send it to us. Even if you're not an artist, you'll be like, oh, I've got an idea for a sculpture. And you'll be able to, you know, jot it down there and then.
Encourages a different kind of exploration, doesn't it?
That's it.
And engagement. And I think it's quite nice.
The sculpture park's for everyone, you know, and maybe next year, someone that isn't actually a practicing artist but has an idea for a sculpture might submit that idea. You know, so much can come out of involving everyone in the show.
Yeah.
And I think that was something that we saw a lot, because last year we also started something the 32 field trips where we kind of offered like a gallery day across London, and people could join us on a on our Saturday afternoon gallery trip. And that came out of a lot of those shows, that kind of thing, that sort of engaging with the public to create exactly what you what the group might want rather than just what you want.
Mm-hmm.
Which is something we're also looking at the moment a lot with Three Rivers, which is a Bexley-based group, and they look a lot at co-creation, and I think that that's a really key part of doing some kind of public show and making sure that everyone that's involved, and even everyone, you know, that's involved as a viewer, feels reflected in what you're doing. It's something that we're looking at a lot at the moment, isn't it? Trying to see how we can engage the public in
mm-hmm.
more directly in the things that we're doing and the projects we're working on.
That's right. I think with the activities and the field trips we're doing, it's almost like an alternative art class in a way, because not everyone in school got taken to art galleries.
I never did, that's for sure.
Exactly. Or even had real art lessons. Yeah, I think it's a part of that. It's like engaging with those people.
So although you've mentioned that it's in Bexley, where precisely is the Winter Sculpture Park?
So it's in Bexley Village, which is literally like a 5-minute walk from Bexley Station. And we'll signpost the walk across from the station. But it's super accessible. It's like a, what is it, 17 minutes from London Bridge on the train?
Yeah.
Yes, yeah, so it's easy to get to, straight into Bexley Village Station, and loads of buses, all sorts. Yeah. Do you feel like that explains where it is?
And like we said, you'll be able to see the sculptures from your journey and on the train.
Mm-hmm.
So just keep your bearings.
And there's loads of parking if you need to, if you drive, loads of free parking on site.
So just to summarise, could you just give us all that information condensed?
So Winter Sculpture Park for 2023 is opening on the 18th of February with the opening party, which will be lots of fun. So definitely do come and join us.
It's a Saturday.
Thank you. It's a Saturday. It's the 18th of February. We're running about 12 till 4, 12 till 5. And free tickets are available to book on our website via Eventbrite, which you can get to at gallery_no.32 on Instagram. So it's super accessible from London. Bexley Station is super close by. The address and stuff is on our website. It'll be a really fun day. There'll be lots of performances and there'll be a food truck, and it's going to be really good. Oh, so the show will also be open until April every day, and there's 24-hour access, so come along when you please.
If you've got an exhibition or any other creative project within the arts, or even just want to promote your own artwork, you could do that in podcast form, similar to the one you've just listened to. They start at a convenient price point that is comfortable for any artist working on a budget. This podcast itself is created by working artists, and we know how important that is. So to find out more information, you can email us on ministryofartsorg@gmail.com or on Instagram at ministryofartsorg. Ta-da!
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.